Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Sure, we're ready, Charlton. That'd be fine. Whatever.
Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. It is Friday, the 1st of December.
Friday. Oh, my gosh, it is the beginning of the last month of the year. Wow, that hadn't quite sunk in yet. Anyway, I'm Kimberly Adams. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our weekly happy hour. Thanks for everyone who's on the who's listening later on the podcast, who's joining us live on YouTube. We appreciate you. It is time for Economics on Tap, where we are extra happy today because we have Marketplace's Amy Scott here with us. Hey, Amy.
Hey, everybody.
Hey. And Amy is out with a new season of How We Survive, which is Marketplace's Climate Solutions podcast. Yes, now you can talk. Hi, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just saying, hey, that's, you know, just doing my
husband,
my guzzling,
or whatever. With you guys.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
No, Kimberly, go ahead.
No, I mean, I was going to let you read your line because Amy.
I have
was
a line?
Say
oh, wait, I do have a line.
You have a line.
So look, we're going to do a little beer tasting. We're going to do a beer tasting because Amy's here, and I want you to tell us, first of all, Ms. Scott, what this season of How We Survive is about, and then that will segue neatly into the kind of beer we're drinking and why.
Yes. Okay. I'm very excited about this. So this season, I think, you know, because I've been on the show to talk about it, but just in case you've missed it, it's all about water in the West, and how we're going to keep living in increasingly arid places. As the go-to source of water, the Colorado River dries up because of climate change. And so we've been exploring solutions, how people are adapting, and one part of the solution is finding new sources of water and figuring out how to better use the water we have and reuse it. So we've actually got before us some beers that were made with some very special water, recycled wastewater.
Oh my goodness.
We have three of them. So
So this is a bit of a journey that I've been on. I feel like I should catch you up on where I am with this. But so basically this summer we went to the town of Gilbert, Arizona, which is in Phoenix, or suburb of Phoenix, to visit a place called Desert Monks Brewery. And as I said, they've been brewing beer with a very special kind of water, which they purchase from the city of Scottsdale. You know, some people call this toilet to tap, not super appetizing. So the city prefers the term direct potable reuse, or even better, ultra purified water. And basically what's happening is that the city of Scottsdale has been treating wastewater, putting it through all kinds of filtration and disinfection and treatment to get it to its kind of purest form as water, and actually adding some minerals back to it so that it tastes better. And the idea is to eventually send this directly to customers through the city utility. It'll come out of your tap. But it's going to take a while to get there, partly because of some, you know, permitting issues, but also the PR, you know, people are kind of icked out by this idea. So they've enlisted local brewers to brew beer from this direct potable reuse water. And so we're going to try some of them. And I'm very curious to know what you think.
Well, I just flipped up the Zoom screen and I'm looking at Kimberly's face. And first of all, she's being a trooper and drinking beer. And not only she's drinking toilet beer. So there's that, right? And she's passing
out a cocktail.
I got
to get your images here. There we go. Now I can see you.
Maybe you pre-gamed a cocktail so that you could have the pee beer. I don't know. We'll see.
I will not confirm or deny such allegations. But I have a question, though, because I'm not a beer person. So I have three beers here. If I open them, there's no way I'm going to be able to drink all three of these. How long will they keep in the fridge once they're open?
They'll go flat. By tomorrow morning, they'll be flat.
I think maybe just, go down the hall, give them to some neighbors. Yeah. Don't tell them where it comes from.
Like, here, have a pea beer. Enjoy.
Yeah.
I think I'll just pick
no,
one
No, but I mean, this
and
is the
it.
Future. This is coming to Los Angeles. This is coming to Phoenix. This is coming to Colorado Springs, where I grew up. I mean, this is how we're going to get by.
No, look, I am a lover of sci-fi, and every single sci-fi novel set in space involves some amount of recycled content.
They do it. They do it in
consumed,
space, right?
So. It's, exactly. Yes. So,
and as my 12-year-old said, isn't all wastewater recycled, or isn't all water recycled wastewater? Which it is. This is just speeding up the process through technology.
Exactly.
So should we drink some beer?
All the stuff of stars.
Yeah, let's drink some beer. So let me just say, I'm in Kimberly's butt. I've got to do some driving later, so I'm going to have a sip or two of each of these. I've got two in front of me. I've got the German-style lager called Sonoran Mist, and then I've got the pale ale called Immaculate Fermentation. Which one are we going to do first?
Can we do the lager? Oh, you want to do the Immaculate Fermentation. It's a great name.
I'm just holding them up so you can see it, but my light's messing it up. Okay, there we go.
So this is a
There's
pale
immaculate
ale.
Immaculate Fermentation. I'm just
All right,
modeling
so I've got
beers
that.
For everyone.
Sorry, which one
All
are you
right.
doing, Amy?
Prost. Yeah.
Which one are you doing, the Immaculate Fermentation?
Immaculate Fermentation, yeah.
Okay, all right. It looks good. Let's see. Pour a nice healthy swig. Oh, it smells right.
Well, that's good.
Oh, yeah. It's It's not my favorite beer, but it's a decent beer.
Yeah, I'm not much of a pale ale person, but I mean, you know, we tasted a lot of water through the course of the season, and I kept saying, I mean, it tastes like water, you know? It's like, what can you really say? And it's hard for me to know, is it the beer that you like or don't like, or is it the water? I don't think I have a sophisticated enough palate to tell you, but it certainly tastes like beer.
I have to give a shout out to all of the puns happening in the YouTube chat. The acknowledge Sarah Schlosser acknowledging the Kai PA glass sighting.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's right, the Kai PA.
All the IPA jokes from Michelle and others. April McCaffrey saying, "I don't think Mist is a good name." I really do appreciate
Mist.
all of you.
Sonoran Mist, no less.
Yes.
All right.
Maybe that's why they didn't send us an IPA, because they were trying to prevent the jokes.
You can't blame them. All right, so let's do the
try the lager.
Sonoran
this was
mist.
What I tasted a version of a lager when I was at the brewery this summer, and you know, maybe it was because it was the end of a long work day and I was really thirsty, but I thought it tasted great.
Beer's always better when you're thirsty. Oh, yeah, so I'm not a lager guy.
Yeah, I like this. See, I like lagers.
It's very lager-looking, right? Very, very light, very pale. All right, hang on.
I have to say, when I briefly thought that I might be able to open all three and not, like, have consequences, I brought out your favorite thing, Kai.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, is that a flight?
I hate that is the dumbest marketplace swag ever. And if anybody in St. Paul is listening to this and you're in the swag department or the membership department, I'm really sorry.
It says
but it is
marketplace
the dumbest
on the panel.
Marketplace swag ever. I was not consulted when they did this, let me just say.
It's got a little.
This
wolf,
would have been the
like
perfect
the
way to do
Street,
this taste test, though. I'm impressed
shark,
that you have a marketplace flight.
The
they never
bear
send me this.
And
stuff.
The bowl.
Bridget's going to make Marissa cut that out. In the edit, I'm telling you.
So what do you think of the lager?
I think it's actually pretty good. It tastes more like a lager than the pale ale tasted like a pale ale. But that's in the brewing. That's not in the water, right? None of this is me being able to tell that it's pea water, right? Sorry. But you know what I mean.
Pee and poop, if you want to be realistic about it.
Oh, man. How to kill the buzz, Amy Scott.
Well,
look,
I mean, we've already killed
already
it. I think
been through our systems, so like in theory,
exactly. And okay. I toured the plant where they clean this water. I saw the list of things they test it for before they ever use it. I mean, I was convinced.
Look, I've been to a couple of water treatment facilities over my career in journalism, and I'm always astonished at how pristine that water is coming out of this other side of a modern water treatment facility. I'd probably drink the water even if I saw it from beginning to end. So, you know. All right. So this
and
last
and we're
one
have
is
to.
This. Yeah.
Are you going to try the Hefeweizen?
Right?
Let's try the Hefeweizen. Let me go to the Hefeweizen. I'll go to the garage and get the Hefeweizen, even though I'm not a Hefeweizen
guy.
I'll be right back.
I was going to say, Kai, if it's like a little sticky around the rim, has it been compromised? Or do you think that?
Well, it's been spilled, right? The sticky stuff is beer that's spilled.
But did it leak out of the can? Is what I'm wondering. Should I not crack this?
Do you feel pressure?
Yeah, a little give.
Yeah,
but...
then I think it's all right. Open it up and see what happens. I'll be right back.
Should I drink out of the bowl, the bear, the shark, or the wolf? What do you think?
Oh, is that what the flight is? I like
it.
Yeah. Well, what is the wolf? I don't even know.
Like the Wolf of Wall Street.
Got it.
They were stretching. All right, so we're going with the wolf.
Come up with four. Yeah. Ooh, this one's right. Pretty.
It's got a pretty color. Yeah. It's like lavender-ish. No, wait, that's just the lighting.
All right. I'm back.
Oh, it's bubbly.
You guys are such good sports for doing this.
I'm looking at the comments and it says shark, wolf, bear, shark. What happened?
Everybody was voting on which of the glasses I should drink out of.
I go away for
and I was like, what's a wolf market? Not realizing that it's referring to the Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh yeah, there's a reason I don't like Hefeweizen, and this is why. So it's super cloudy, as you can see, right? Very pale. Lots of effervescence, as you will. Yeah, it's
kind of lemony. Ugh.
Yeah.
This is actually more tolerable to me than most beers.
Oh, that's so interesting. That's so interesting.
Yeah. Huh. I like it. I could drink it. It doesn't taste like offensively beerish to me. So, yay.
There's nothing for me.
Well, you like beer,
so that makes sense. I'm glad I picked this one.
So, Kai, your favorite would you say the lager?
I would say the lager, actually, which, you know, for me, an IPA guy, is a little bit of a change. But look, both of the first two were completely palatable beers, you know. And Amy's point earlier is totally right. This is the way we're going, so we have to get used to it.
Yep. Yeah,
all right,
exactly.
So if I can turn the tables on you, are you half full or half empty on recycled wastewater?
I'm totally half full. It would be fine. It would be fine.
Yeah, I'm half full. I trust the science. It's we're all good. And honestly,
right,
I'm sure we consume much worse in just the food that we eat
every damn day.
Other things. I mean, in all alcohol is poison, technically. There's that.
Shout out to Summer and Chris Decker at Desert Monks for sending us this beer.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes,
yeah, it was
for
fun.
For sure.
All right, we should probably get to some news, right?
There we go. Yes, let's get some news. I don't have any. I'm going to piggyback on yours because, frankly, I've just been cranky all day about the news. The news just isn't.
So, of course, the news is that New York Representative George Santos was expelled from the House. Expelled from the House of Representatives today. I can't even decide if I'm surprised that it actually happened, like it needed to happen. But there are so many things that we expect the Congress should do that they don't. Mm-hmm. But I am interested in this from a couple of different perspectives. So first of all, in the Associated Press, in their write-up of what happens next, I was very interested to hear what happens to his staff. So all the way at the bottom of this AP story, now that he's been removed from office, Santos's congressional office will remain operational under the management of the clerk of the House. No additional staff can be hired, but the current staff can stay on and perform constituent casework. They will be unable to undertake any legislative activity, such as the drafting of bills. Santos, for his part, hasn't lost all the privileges afforded to former members.
Right,
he will still be permitted to walk onto the House floor and fraternize with members. And then it wasn't in this article, but it was a different one that I'll have to find later, where they were talking about there's an association for former members of Congress. He apparently is not going to be extended an invitation into that august group, because I guess a spokesperson for the group said something to the effect of you have to be a member in good standing when you leave to be extended membership. So that was
one thing
that was fascinating to me about it. Another two other pieces that were interested tied together, because the New York Times linked to this piece in The Conversation by a political philosopher who is talking about sort of why the lies of George Santos were particularly galling to people. Because there's sort of this understanding that everybody understands a politician's lie, right? So why does it matter so much to people that George Santos lies? And so he broke it down into three different reasons. So, I'm just finding the name. This was Michael Blake at the University of Washington. Want to give Michael his shout out. Okay, so three reasons. Number one, lying is manipulative, so nobody likes that. People don't like to be manipulated. Second reason, abuse of trust. If our candidates lie to us, we cannot know what they really plan to do and hence cannot trust that we are voting for a candidate who will best represent our interests. Number three, electoral mandate is this idea that, you know, the consent of the elected might be illegitimate if it were obtained by means of deception. And the fourth one that particularly makes it particularly bad is that these lies were unnecessary and disprovable. Santos's lies, however, do seem to provoke something like resentment and outrage, which suggests that they are somehow unlike the usual forms of deceptive practice undertaken during political campaign. The rarity of this sanction may reflect a final reason to resent deception, which is that voters especially dislike being lied to unnecessarily, nor about matters subject to easy empirical proof or disproof. Which gets to this New York Times article, which talks about how one of the things that really set off members of Congress was at least not just the lies, but on the allegedly illegal ways that he spent campaign funds was the kind of stuff that he spent it on. The fact that he was spending it on luxury goods really got to people that it was, you know, at this point, the discussion around lies in politics is so familiar, it has almost become background noise. But taking $6,000 of his campaign contributions and spending it on personal shopping at Ferragamo, I guess is how you say it, dropping another couple thousand at Hermes, at Sephora, on Botox. Those revelations documented in the House Ethics Committee report released November 16 seemed simply too much.
So totally. If he'd gone to Walgreens and bought some aspirin with campaign funds, right. It would have been okay.
You know, but I feel like people would have been a little more tolerant of it because, like, you've definitely heard about members of Congress spending it on travel that maybe they shouldn't have or fancier dinners than maybe were permitted. But the luxury goods, really. Oh, right. Brandon says, don't forget the OnlyFans. I didn't forget the OnlyFans. You know, it's just
it's
so
a family podcast.
Extra. Yes. All right, that's all I got for news. But you have a rant, Kai. I feel it coming.
No, I don't have a rant. I guess my rant, I have two thoughts on this. Number one, it's truly disappointing to me. No, it's not. That's ridiculous. I should be surprised, but I'm not surprised that all of the House leadership, which is to say Republican leadership, voted for Santos to stay, number one. Number two, The protestations from those Republicans, which is to say more than half of the Republican conference in the House of Representatives voted for Santos to stay, their protestations that he hasn't been convicted and thus we can't throw him out. I guess I have two thoughts. Number one is this is a political move, not a judicial or criminal move, right? It's a political thing, much as impeachment is not a criminal trial. It is a political trial. So you can't, that doesn't flow for me, we have to wait for him to be convicted. That doesn't make any sense. Number two, the Constitution says the House gets to decide who's in the House and who's not, right? Yes, you got the will of the voters, but once they're in the House gets to decide the qualifications of its members. And so I think all the protestations from the Republicans about this is dangerous precedent and all of that, I don't buy that. Those are my rants. Not really ranty.
Amy, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I guess I don't like that how much we seem to have accepted that lies are okay in politics, you know? I mean, think about the big lie that most of those members support. And
even when they don't actually believe it, which is wild.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Anywho.
Ooh, okay.
All right, we're done. We're done with the news. We're done with a little cranky news. Yes, which we have. We have lots of beer. Quick break coming from us. And then when we come back, half full, half empty, we'll be back.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
So I really have to finish this whole can like tonight.
You actually don't.
No, I mean, I know I don't, but like,
you could pour it in the toilet. Eventually it'll get reused.
No.
Oh, snap.
Nicely done, Amy. Nicely done.
From all whence right, it
sorry.
Came.
Okay. I can't help myself. End of season, man. Good. I'm really scraping the barrel.
It's all good. All right. Who's in charge
all
of this
right,
game?
So, this now we are going to play the game. It's Half Full, Half Empty, hosted by our very own Drew Jostad. Please save us from ourselves, Drew.
All right. Night School Bar in Durham, North Carolina is a bar that offers pay-as-you-can college-level courses. Are you half full or half empty on taking a class with a drink?
Yeah, so this is a story that aired on Marketplace this week about how adjunct professors who don't make a whole lot of money have turned to alternate means of getting paid, and a lot of them are bartenders. And so one of them put together this program where you do class in a bar and you have a drink or two and take some classes. And I think it's, you know, it's great on a lot of levels. I'm all the way in. Half full.
Half full.
Yeah, I mean, the motive, the reasons are sad.
Right.
The higher ed is dire straits, yeah. but I'm half full on the practice for
there
sure.
There you go. Yeah,
I take
sure.
a course.
Yep. And a non-pee beer.
About to say, right. It kind of does depend on what cocktails are on offer, to be honest.
Yes.
And what classes.
All right.
Yeah, right. Are
you...
they a good bartender?
No.
Yeah.
Are you half full or half empty on mortadella?
Oh.
I missed this. What was it?
I need some.
So this was a piece in the New York Times this week about how mortadella, right, which is basically
nice.
Italian bologna. Well, my mom's Italian, so, you know. So it's basically Italian bologna. And for years has been the bastard stepchild of all the great meats that come out of, well, mostly Europe, but, you know, they're American salumeries now, right? You got your great salamis and all this jazz, and mortadella has always been this random thing. And American bologna is a distant cousin. But now it's apparently back in favor in very big ways, and it's having a heyday. And I can tolerate a little bit of mortadella. It's good. You know, there's some fat in there, and then there's some pistachios sometimes. It's good. I'm half full.
Okay. Now that I'm looking at the pictures of this, I know of this item. I do not love it, but I also can appreciate how the millennial love of the grown-up Lunchable has spurred the growth of this industry. This is the running joke that the reason millennials love charcuterie boards so much is because they're basically grown-up Lunchables, and that's what many of us grew up eating.
I like that. That's
and if
that's
you think
good.
About the Lunchable meat, it kind of did have that vibe of the
totally
mortadella
did.
Look.
100%.
Sure, half full. Let people eat what they love to eat.
Yep.
Yeah, sure. But I'm half empty because I haven't eaten meat really since I was 18. So I have to recuse myself from this one.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I don't know.
Good for you.
I'm unhealthy in lots of other ways.
We all got to pick our battles, man.
That's right.
Exactly. I think it was the Lunchables that did it, actually.
Might have been.
You're just like, this is not good for me. All right, what's next, Drew?
Okay, Walmart is releasing a shoppable rom-com on TikTok, Roku, and YouTube called Add to Heart. Are you half full or half empty?
Let
I have no idea
me,
what you're talking about.
I cannot express the depth
shoppable.
Of emptiness I have for this.
Almost everything in the series, from furniture to fashion, was sourced from Walmart.
Oh my God.
So Stephanie Seek, one of our editors, posted this in our now reading Slack channel, and she was like, someone else, please watch this trailer so I don't have to suffer alone. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Ring, where it's like you watch this video and you have to show it to somebody else in 8 days or you like die. That's how I felt after watching that trailer, where I was just like, someone else has to deal with this level of cringe so that I'm not here alone. And so I was just like, someone else watch it. I'm empty. Look, I love a good formulaic holiday rom-com. You know, let's totally undermine women's sense of agency and career choices and tell them to go back to their hometown and settle for less.
Oh,
absolutely. Let's do it with holiday cheer.
What are you trying to tell me, Kimberly?
I want to hear a whole separate podcast about this from Kimberly.
Wow.
You have some thoughts.
But I love watching them. I will watch them over and over again. And so I appreciate it at some level in that they are embracing the formula and using it for marketing. But man, that trailer was cringe. I cannot deal. I will not be watching it. So I'm going to go all the way empty. It was hard. It was hard to watch.
That's appalling. Yeah, I just forget it.
I just loved hearing Drew with a straight face saying the words shoppable rom-com.
Right?
Wait, well, and isn't done, it Drew. Called like add to heart instead
add
of
to add, heart.
Like instead of add to cart, it's add to heart.
Oh, like no, that, really?
That's kind of genius. Though. I will give them that. I will give them that.
I wish I could unlearn this whole thing.
Shall we just move on to the poll and
let us
yeah.
let us
that
move on? Well, isn't there one
all
more
right,
between now and the poll, or do we have the poll first?
I think we've been killing
God.
Too much time. We're
they're trying to
okay,
anyway,
let's go to the
down.
Poll. Let's go to the
so
poll.
People in the who are able to observe in the YouTube live chat, please weigh in on the poll. And while you're there, if you want to give us a like or a follow for our channel, we'd love that. So let's go ahead.
All right. Dueling columns on this topic in the Wall Street Journal last week. Are you half full or half empty on picking people up from the airport over the holidays?
Go ahead.
I will abstain because I think the listeners to this mm-hmm. podcast know exactly how I feel. But we'll kill some time to let the poll develop, I think, right?
So I will say, when my mother picked me up from the airport in St. Louis, I had a full-on discussion with her about this and her feelings on. She says, "Oh, I don't mind. It's not that big of a deal. It's
right.
fine."
Right. Right.
Which of course she's going to say. But, you know, on the way back to the airport, because my sister and her kids, their flight was leaving at 6 a.m. My flight was leaving at like 8 a.m. So they all had to leave to go back to the airport at like 4. So rather than having my mother take a separate trip to take me to the airport a couple hours later, I got up that early and
did
rode
you
with him to
really?
The airport. Yes, to save
wow.
my mother the trip to the airport
wow.
on the holiday weekend. So
wow.
I will say, there are people who do enjoy the airport pickup. I have to say, I did have a friend pick me up from the airport when I got back to D.C. So there's that.
Very nice.
That's super
very
nice.
Nice. Yes.
Very nice. Yes.
Tell all me right. when I'm allowed to.
You're allowed to.
Oh, you're,
me,
you're
not,
allowed.
Don't
now.
Give
you're
your answer,
now.
Though. Just
all right. I won't give my answer. But I will say that every time we go home to visit my folks in Colorado, we usually fly into Denver, which is about an hour and a half from my hometown of the Colorado Springs. And my stepdad always comes to get us. And I love seeing him pull up, my mom ooh. Hopping out of the car. And, you know, so I'm in favor of my parents picking me up from the airport. I'm not maybe less so in favor of driving to Baltimore, you know, BWI and getting them.
Well, hang on a minute. So here's the question. I don't remember exactly how long it's going to be until your kids go to college, but believe me when I tell you that freshman year of college, when they come home, you're going to get in the car and go to BWI.
Oh, I'm
going to
be
them,
there.
Night or day. You betcha.
Heck yeah.
You betcha. Totally.
As people are pointing out in the chat, I do think it matters what airport we're talking about and
absolutely
the relative distance, because, you know, the Miami airport or LAX are very different from Lambert St. Louis International Airport, you know, yes, in terms of enough levels of drama involved. All right, poll is done.
All right, wait. We got to get this one in from JC Katz 411. I drove a friend to the airport. She didn't even pay me back the toll for $18. Empty. Sorry.
That's not a friend.
$18?
Wow. That's not a friend.
That must be New York, anyway, so, right? I mean, where else are you paying tolls like that?
All right. So I am going to go half full on picking people up from the airport over the holidays. If I had a car, I would totally pick my friends up from the airport.
I would too.
Can't carry them on my motorcycle. Sorry.
Absolutely. I'm half full too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So here's the way it worked out. Half full on picking people up, 62%. Half empty, 37%, 177 votes. Thank you for participating. Yeah, very nice. Very nice.
That was fun.
Excellent. Good stuff.
All right. Yes. That is it for today. Please make sure to go and check out Amy's amazing podcast. You know, it's so good and so interesting. And like we've been saying this whole time, this is where we're headed. Let's all get used to it. And before we go, we want to give a special shout out and thanks to our beloved Make Me Smart intern, Niloufar Shabandi, who you hear in the credits all the time. Today is her last day. So, Nilu, thank you so much for all of your hard work and your smart ideas over the last 6 months. We have long internships here at Marketplace. And so we're all going to miss you and wish you the absolute best.
She's done great. It's been super.
Yeah.
Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergsicker. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. Our intern for today, anyway, is Niloufar Shabandi.
The team behind our Friday game is Emily McCune and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcasts. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital and on demand. And Amy is just awesome, and the host of How We Survive.
Amy Scott is just Amy Scott. That's where we are.
Amy Scott.
Thanks for having me on.
Amy Scott drops Amy mic. Scott.
That's right.
I could. That's right. I might break some glasses.
I don't think Sculler would manage, like that at all. I love how we all live in fear of Sculler.
Of course we do. Of course we do.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.